you gotta binge watch something, binge watch this.
Too much power and time on their hands, deciding that they're gonna go find a fucking dragon to slay. And it falls short. We argue, we misunderstand each other. There's a lot that happens. Language is deficient.
Raising your child well at this point insinuates that raising your child in a manner that it doesn't experience any hardship, any confrontations, any... Right. I don't know what gender is because I'm not a biologist.
Oh, right. I'm not, you know... I got the same shit from, like, a vegan saying there's no difference between a cow's life and a human life.
And before we jump into the official episode today at Fearless Well, I just want to point out this is hashtag Team No Delusion. So everything you'll see, intro, mid-tro, intro, recording, everything is raw footage, one take. I will not be doing or redoing or participating in the whole Hollywood thing where everything needs to look polished or fake or perfect, because that's just not real life. So with that being said, welcome into the real world, and now we're jumping into the episode. Hello, hello everyone. It's again, Demon and Diamond series, Diamond and Demon series. Here at Fearless Well. The first episode hasn't been released yet, so people will just be blessed and graced with two episodes.
Yeah, they can binge watch. They can binge watch two episodes.
If you gotta binge watch something, binge watch this.
Right.
I just want to brag about my very beautiful hippie bottle. And it's real glass. I love real glass. I hate the whole plastic movement. I love real glass.
Yeah.
Dookie, are you saying hi? Dookie's in the back. Hi, baby. Are you saying hi? Yes. For the listeners, there's a dog in the background saying hi. How are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm good.
Yes.
I am noticing that I have to actively be cautious right now in the online turbulent times. Not only has the algorithm caught up with me and loves to feed me inflammatory stuff.
Yeah.
But with all the stuff going on with Israel and everything, like, that's real footage. So I want to stay informed, but I also need to be cautious not to go on, what do they call it, like trauma porn? I think that's the term.
I guess
why I brought this up is because I've been in, and I made some screenshots that perhaps I'll share at one point, where, you know, everyone's making their stance, you know, I stand with this, I stand with that, and one thing that I'm noticing is that it's not as marketed and popularized as Ukraine and Russia was.
Right. Well, this is an ongoing thing, right? Russia and Ukraine is a fairly novel thing by comparison. This is the cow that's been being milked since World War II. So in the United States, well, from a United Russia States and Ukraine, perspective.
Right. So you have to tell me about that, because from European perspective, Ukraine and Russia, like, that's been going on since I was little.
Right. So that's a carryover from Europe. We imported that from Europe, but we're exporting our trauma with and our involvement with Israel. So we all have our baggage, and that's ours. So,
right. And what I've the extreme, the demand, and I will send you screenshots from this, from people posting, if you. I'm going to just read it. I'm just going to fucking read it instead of, you know, trying to, like, verbatim.
Yeah.
I don't have all the right words. What is happening right now is genocide, blah, 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 blah. If I don't care if you have one follower or 9 million. If you are silent, you have chosen a side.
Oof. Okay. Thank you for the ultimatum. Social media, always good for that. Like, it's always the ultimatum, right? Like, because we only deal in black and white. We only deal in on and off. You know, this or that, pride or shame, you know, and it's like, nothing is nuanced. So, of course.
And it's piggying back on what we talked about last week, where it's like, it's not either or.
Right.
First of all,
Why are we could all moralize depending on how much we know about the situation, like who's in the right. And I'm just like, I just don't want war.
Right.
I don't want no one to die. Don't get me wrong. I am extremely pro individual violence, but I am extremely anti-war.
Yeah. Which makes sense. Right. So, I mean, because an individual can take responsibility. You can assign a cause and effect and say, you did this thing and you are responsible. You are to blame or whatever it is. And you can take ownership of it. Governments, not as much. Right. Nations, collectives are kind of like, well, you know, this and this, and they can always shift things around. And it's always kind of a Rorschach of, you know, what is, whose fault is it, and who did what, and I can pull an event out of history and say, but this thing, and then this thing, and it's like,
it's a marketing scheme.
It is a bit of that.
It's messaging. I mean, right? Like, it's right. who pulls up the thing, and then who knows a little bit more from a different angle and pulls up that thing, right? And I'm just like,
right. And the bottom line for many people is twofold, right? One is, I don't want anybody to die, right? I don't want anybody to be killed. I don't like it. I don't like the death thing. I don't like the killing thing. Okay. The other thing is strictly from an economic perspective, right? Can you imagine yourself, struggling in the United States or the UK or wherever, and watching your money literally just fly off to another country that isn't yours, and saying, right. So it's like, so I can't afford $5 gas. I can't afford an apartment. I can't find a job that can get me to that place. I'm supporting a family. My industry's on strike or whatever it is, whatever's happening in the United States. And I'm still required to pay these taxes, but I'm going to now fund two wars instead of one. And I'm supposed to somehow feel solace in this. I feel like foreign affairs, right? Global warming and shit like that are novelty issues that rich people can proselytize about because they got nothing else going on. They're bored as fuck. They're diddling around with anything they can get their hands on because they fucked with everything else. And now we've got, let's talk about, climate change. I got nothing else going on. I'm bored as fuck. Let's do this. Let's start a war. That'll be fun. Yeah. I mean, I got nothing else going on. It's bored ass people with too much power and time on their hands deciding that they're going to go find a fucking dragon to slay. And it's like, okay, but I have actual dragons to slay. Like, I have immediate concerns where I'm not particularly worried about whether or not an 18-year-old's feelings were hurt on a college campus, much less whether or not somebody, did something out of turn in the Middle East, like, or in Eastern Europe. I'm sorry, I just don't have the bandwidth for that, right? In my hierarchy of priorities, Israel and Ukraine just don't pop. Just don't. I'm not even sending my kids out there. Like, I'm not going to do it. We're going to go fucking run to Mexico or Canada before I go and conscript my kids to this shit, because I can't just not afford the money. I can't afford to lose family members for shit that really hasn't resonated with me ever, you know? And so you're asking for a great amount of sacrifice and a great amount of commitment and offering from people who can't really afford that anymore. Like, you've pushed us to the limit. We've got nothing left, but you keep trying to squeeze blood from a stone, so to speak. We're out. We're tapped out. Like, it doesn't, it's like, I worry about shit happening in Ukraine and in Israel the way I worry about poverty as a general concept. I know I'm not fixing that shit. And so where I feel like I can make a difference, I might throw in, but that's it, right? And I otherwise go about my life saying, yes, poverty exists, and yes, it's unfortunate, and yes, if I run across a person that I feel I can actually help and get them out of a situation, I might jump in. But I'm otherwise going to remain like agnostic on the issue. I'm not really going to get deeply involved in it because part of my contribution to anti-poverty is not allowing myself to fall into that, right? Like,
right.
By virtue 100. Of not adding to those numbers, I am actually doing my part, right? And so there is that piece. And I feel like it, just because I'm not actively trying to get involved in these issues on a day-to-day basis or in any ongoing fashion, doesn't mean that I don't find it to be wrong or that I don't like what's happening. But I also don't feel like I need to pick a side because I'm not in the middle of a divorce here. Like, quit putting me in the middle and making me pick a side because that's toxic as fuck, you know?
So tell me, what do you think? So give me your opinion about this whole, like, if you don't pick a side, then, right? And we touched a little bit on that as an example, like by proximity, right? If you're not anti-Trump, therefore you're whatever, like there's, yeah. It's just, if you know this person, if you've ever listened to Joe Rogan, then you're a anti-fascist, redneck, racist, bigot, misogynist, right? Like
all the things, right?
So in this case, too, like not even a, I'm going to judge you on which side you pick, which we could definitely say that there might be something for that, right? Because that would elicit some type of like, I have questions.
Yeah.
But if you don't express your side, I know what side you're on.
Right. But you default to this. Right. And I just feel that it's the ultimatums that are, I mean, they just become tedious. Right. It's just like, I mean, it's not worth the fight because it's too tiresome to constantly keep up with their social expectations of me performing for them 100. On a regular basis. I can't, like, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not playing. Like, you know, if you don't pick a side, if you don't say something, then I will just put you on the worst. I will assume the worst of you. And it's like, and doing that to people is, well, it's intellectually dishonest, right? First and foremost, it's intellectually dishonest. You have projected a whole persona to a person based entirely on their silence, right? And I got into it with somebody about that. Somebody had said that the silent treatment is abuse. Somebody had said that, and this is tangentially related, right? That the silent treatment is abuse in a relationship. And I said, I will go as far as to ascribe disrespectful to it. If you're in a relationship with somebody and they just start ignoring you or neglecting you, I would call that disrespectful, but I wouldn't call it abusive.
That's the stonewalling, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Silent treatment. Okay. So I'm not talking. I'm ignoring you, right? Mm-hmm. When I'm upset with you, I just don't talk. Okay. If you can't communicate, right, and you've got shitty communication skills or whatever it is, and you're just not communicating in the relationship, I can say that you've got communication issues. I can say that that's disrespectful. I can say that falls below the standard of what I look for in a relationship. I can say all those things, all of which are very negative, but I don't think it rises to the level of abuse, right? Because to say it's abusive would suggest that I'm somehow trapped in the house and I can't get out. If I were to leave, you would continue to follow me and impose this thing, which in this case is nothing.
It's nothing.
Right. So I'm like, it's not abuse. Please stop calling everything abuse. Okay. Abuse is a particular thing. Right. And so that's what they're saying is like, so now if I say something in anger, that's abuse. If I don't say something in anger, that's abuse. So basically, oh my God, me existing angrily is abusive to you because I'm never going to meet your requirement. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Or not angrily. Or not angrily.
At all, right? Just my existence is violence now, and it's like, okay, this has to stop. you've become untethered from reality. Okay,
I threw that bait out, and you hooked, and I'm like, yes, because I wanted to go towards words are violence.
We've exceeded that. We've exceeded that now. So now silence is violence, and everything is violence. It's like, if you don't do what I need you to do, then that is abusive, that is violence, that is hate, that is, you know, that is intolerance, that is, you know, phobia, that is...
Right, you don't want me to exist, you deny my existence. I'm like, motherfucker, I'm looking at you, unfortunately, right. You, perhaps. But I'm looking at you.
You've unpersoned me now because I'm not doing what you need me to do. And it's too much. Like, it's just too much. And I finally, I said in that thread about, you know, silence is violence thing, you know, or like it, stonewalling somebody is violence or abuse. I said, you're never entitled to my engagement, my time, my energy, my words, my justifications, my discussion. You're not entitled to a goddamn thing.
On your terms.
At all. Not on me. Yeah. You're not entitled to anything from me. I never entered into a contract with you that says that I have to give you these things. And if I don't, I'm in violation of contract. You need to shut the fuck up with that entirely. Because that's essentially what they're saying. I'm entitled to you expressing your opinion. I'm entitled to your expression. I'm entitled to your ideas. I'm entitled to know them. No, you're fucking not. And you need to stop thinking like that, because you're just going to be thoroughly disappointed. And I will, I mean, and God knows you'll take it to the nth degree and show you what real disappointment looks like. Like, if you're sad now, wait till I really take this to the fullest extent of the logical thread. I mean, I'm just saying, like, oh, you don't like how I spend my money? Do you like it when I set it on fire? I mean, that's really what it is. It's like, you feel like you're entitled now. You don't like what I'm doing now? Wait until I take it this far, because I will take it that far, just to show you how disappointing I can really be to you. Like, because I feel like that's necessary.
If you're going to put a label on me, then right. I will grant you the grace of giving you reasons for that label.
Exactly. That it's the equivalent of, you know, if you don't cry and it, or I'll give you something to cry about, right? It's like, because you're crying about petty shit. That was that's right. I mean, the parents used to say that because kids would cry about, you know, petty things, and it's like, and oh, this is making you.
Then they stopped crying because
I
got beaten the shit the fuck out of me if I did, like, oh, you know, I want a magazine, and then cry. Excuse you. I will give you. You want to cry because you don't get a magazine? Okay, I'm gonna give you a reason to cry.
Right. You'll wish that was your saddest moment. That's not your saddest moment, and I need to give you some perspective. Right. Yes. That was it. Right. It's the issue of perspective.
Give you perspective.
Right. I will give you the gift of perspective, because this is it can get much worse, and it's like, and that's what they're doing. They're essentially eliciting this kind of extremism. Right. The extremism that they keep calling you is actually the extremism they're asking to get, because that is what people are doing by extension, because they're saying, look, it's not worth it anymore, right? And then the opposite is true. Like, for example, my dad was brought up in a very abusive household. He got his ass kicked no matter what. Okay, well, if I'm going to get my ass kicked no matter what, I might as well go earn it. So I'm going to go steal hubcaps, right? Like, at least now I know I'm going to get it for a reason, right?
Also me.
Right, right.
If you're gonna tell me that I've been cheating while I haven't, hey, I might as well just fucking do it anyway. Then regardless of going down the line, like, I'm not supposed to be, like, I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who thinks I'm cheating when I'm clearly not. Right. Right. That's a different conversation. But if you're gonna accuse me of things I'm doing, I'm taking the load. Might as well just then do them.
Right. I'm already getting punished. I've, you know, double jeopardy, right? Like, you can't come back at me. You can't try me twice for the same crime. So I might as well commit the crime that I haven't committed yet, you know, and then do that. And that's what they're doing, is they're forcing people into corners like this. And it's like, what do you get for this, right? What do you actually get for this? Like, what are you getting in return? You elicit people's response on social media. Like, okay, fine. I'll say this. What difference does it make? Like, okay, I'll say what everybody else is saying. I'll cry with everyone else. I don't even stand out anymore. No one really cares. You're not really taking a roll call, right? You're not actually checking for attendance here. Because it's like, if you don't agree with me on this, you might as well unfriend me. They don't actually check to see if you unfriended them. A lazy ass isn't thinking like that.
You don't even have a pull through. No. Like, I can respect that, right? Integrity. If you actually pulled through, I'm like,
okay, then that's your shit. That's your line. Okay, whatever, you know, but I see it. And it's like that. I think the bigger issue isn't like whether or not shit's happening in Israel, right? Shit's always happening in Israel. But like, the issue for me is like how social media has gotten to this point where it's like, you know, like I see social media kind of like the fake psychic that puts on a big production has an auditorium full of people coming to get the answers, right? Have you seen this? Have you seen like these types or heard of them? Like, so like this person is a psychic. What happens is their production crew is out front pretending to cover the event. And they ask them, hey, what brought you here, right? They're actually screening. So they're saying, oh, I'm coming here to find out if my dead mother's still disappointed in me, right? Some shit like that. Okay. And then they take in all these different, like all the different reasons why they come in. Then the production crew says, oh, this person here in A13 is asking about their dead mother and their disappointment, right? And the psychic already gets the lead in their earpiece. So they're already able to do that. Then you couple that with their ability to read nonverbal cues very well, which is their actual skill, right? And so they read the cues and they start to speak adjacent to the person, just close enough.
Mind you, yes, your mother will be disappointed in you forever. If you have to go to a fucking psychic to check if your mom potentially is disappointed, I can tell by virtue she is, because I am too.
We're all disappointed
in you right now.
If that helps and saves you money. Like, but, you know, so then the psychic is speaking adjacent to the person close enough. What they're relying on is that person to bridge the gap and fill in the holes and pull it in. So they're saying, so basically it's like, if I make it personal enough, right, then you'll do the rest of the work for me and you will believe this is about you when it really isn't, right? That's what social media does. Social media literally comes up right against you and then people are like, oh, that speaks to me. It's about me. It's all about me. Everything's about me. I'm the center of the goddamn universe. Holy shit. You did it. And then social media, of course, social media is operating no differently on an algorithm that's reading nonverbal cues, right? That already got screened from earlier and all of your earlier habits. They said, oh, this person at this ISP is looking to get confirmation that their mother still loves them. I'll just send that out. I'll send out a message that says, you might not feel loved, but in fact you are, just so you know. Anyone who needs to hear this. And it's like, oh, that's me. I need to hear it. I'm loved. And it's like, it was a fucking meme. Somebody took a screenshot of those words, circulated on a pink background, and said, suggested for you because you sound like you're unloved and weren't hugged enough as a child. And then you got that message. Like, it's the psychic. It's the same gimmick. It's the same fucking racket. And it's like, but everybody's looking for that. So now I'm going to send out my algorithmic bullshit. I'm going to say, is real this, hashtag, you know, I stand with Ukraine, hashtag this, hashtag that. And it's like, oh, you hashtag that and I hashtag that. We're part of the same club. It's about us. Well, if you want to be part of our club, then you need to hashtag Israel and stand with Ukraine and blah, 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 blah as well. And it's like, so now it's this whole popularity contest where people are just like, I want it to be about me. I want it to be about me too. It's like, I need this. And so we're all just doing this at a psychic convention. That's a whole fucking grift. Like, it's just a scam. It's a long-term con. It's just a con. It's like, none of this is real and none of it matters. Because if you think about it, right? Prior to social media, prior to the inception of all this internet shit, nobody checked in. Nobody was like calling each other up saying, excuse me, what are your feelings about Russia today? What are your feelings about Israel today? What are your feelings about Hamas today? It's like,
no, my parents that would were calling require, you know, the balls, like, listen, the moment someone rings my doorbell and I open and he goes, I need to know what your opinions are. Him and I are going to be friends regardless where he stands. Because I'm like, you got balls. Mm-hmm. You got actual balls. Like, I respect that. Like, that took momentum and doing and the potential confrontation. I respect that.
Yeah.
But just throwing messages out in the ether. I'm going to get you a copy of a book. And I I'm blanking on the title, but it's officially a like an occult book. And it's basically about memes. And like the book itself, if you want a hard copy, it's like we're talking $4,000. Like it's impossible to get right now. But with a lot of occultism, it's like it's always walking an edge with like mental illness, psychology, and like, you know, history and like human behavior and stuff. It's kind of like depending on who the author is, right? So this book basically is psychology. And that book isn't the only resource that speaks about like how memes, like we have whole languages, right? Like if I look at my inbox on Instagram, it's mostly friends sending me memes saying, "Oh my God, this is you," and I feel seen. Right. So it became a whole language. Oh, and my complete fucking side brain fart. And I heard this on Uncle Rogan from all people, that the modern linguists, I don't know what, again, terms don't mean anything anymore, are basically perceiving emojis like
hieroglyphics.
Hieroglypha. Yeah. Okay, so because everyone understands the emojis, even though we don't speak the same actual language.
Right.
So that was, again, just total random brain fart.
No, that is interesting. I think, you know, there's something to be said about emojis and the kind of abbreviated speech that we have now. And the general laziness towards reading comprehension that I'm seeing, where it's a sort of contraction of language, right? So I studied linguistics in college. And part of the reason that I really found it to be valuable was because inevitably language reveals itself as a two-pronged thing. Its original purpose and its most effective purpose is expression, but its second purpose being communication, right? It fails a lot at communication. It does. We fall short. We argue, we misunderstand each other. There's a lot that happens. Language is deficient, and that's okay, but we try to make up for it, right? We try to expound on things. We try to parse things out with nuance. We go further and unpacking ideas so people will understand us because we desperately want it.
Right. And I want to add to that why it's so extremely, extremely, extremely important to keep in contact with people face to face. I'm not even talking digital screen. We need social, because the social cues,
right,
from the typed, you know, I'm gonna give the most basic and please continue after that. But if someone says, "Hey, bitch," and I don't know that person is blocked, removed, everything. Now, if it's one of my homegirls, you're getting the same response, right? Because we have a rapport, but the same goes for outside. There's a difference between "hey, bitch" versus "hey," right? Like, and the younger generations are missing
all of
that whole energetic. Because there's, aside from body language, there's an energetic aspect to it too. Because we all also know that if I walk into a room and I don't say anything and I'll keep my face completely neutral, the room will still be able to feel if I'm happy or angry. And the whole room will feel it, right? Because there is an energetic aspect to us aside from body language.
Right.
And the online stuff, that's our real life nuance.
Right. We do need that. And that's the problem, right? Is that, well, we don't have any real life consequences that go with that. Right. I mean, I can online, call you whatever you mean, online. I have no real life consequences there. And so I can say, I can be a lot more brazen and I can be a lot more uncensored and a lot, you know, just and generally undisciplined in my speech. And what I'm seeing is that the connective tissue that is language in a society, right, that gets us what we want, that gets us connected with people that we want to be connected with. And illuminates who our tribe is, right? Like, these are people, like, this is how we start to really find each other and find our real people, you know, and find the people that we can resonate with the best and grow with, and et cetera. That's language. When you condense it and when you contract it in a way that says, okay, I'm now going to put every sad thing under the umbrella of depression. There's no nuance. There's no variegation to sadness. When I put everything under the umbrella of anxiety rather than nervousness, timid, yeah, I don't have any sort of nuance, right? When I put everything under abuse rather than just disrespect, which is not the same, right? These are large umbrella terms that we're now ascribing to nuanced things that used to mean something, right? And now it's like, and what's worse, what's even worse, and this is what I've seen people do, and I rebuke it entirely. I refuse to accept it. When people say, you know what I meant. Nope, not my responsibility. If you want me to know what you meant, I suggest you find better words. The same internet that's allowing you to tell me that is the same internet that can give you a dictionary and a thesaurus. Go find the fucking words and use your fucking words. Don't tell me that it's my job to go out on a limb and try to understand you. I'm not the fucking, you know, what, midwife of your ideas where I'm just going to help you birth that out. And then I can, you know, I'll give you the words. No, I'm not going to give you the words, and I'm not filling in the fucking blanks for you. That's the problem, is that everybody's doing that. We're speaking in these broad terms like hope and change, but we don't actually know what that means. So we just project whatever we want onto it.
Right. And this is definitely a chronic illness, chronic mental illness, chronic online behavior where the majority, this, the thing that, you know what I meant, holds a lot of ground, because if you're in the same tribe, and for the listeners, I'm using air quotes right now, then the tribe member will indeed know what you meant because they're married to the same ideas.
Right. Right.
So if I go like, fucking all men are rapists or I don't know, whatever. Right. And you, because I also know you, you would insert yourself. Well, like, there's set, like, you know, 4 billion men. I'm pretty confident that, you know, and they'll be like, but you know what I meant. And now everyone will attack you because you're not part of that. You're not married to that idea. So indeed, they truly believe that you should know what they meant.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, because, and what's, yeah. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, because in their social tribe, that is the idea and a stance that we hold, therefore we all know what we meant, right?
I got into a discussion with somebody who thought that Jordan Peterson was a sociologist, and I was like, he's not a sociologist, he's a clinical psychologist. That's known, like, everybody knows that about him, regardless of whether you like him or not. He's everything he says and does is through a clinical psychologist lens. He's very prescriptive. You can tell by the way when he arrives at his conclusions, all of that is 100% psychology. So that's where he lands. That's the lens through which he sees the world. And that's how he analyzes everything. And it's like, he can't help it. That's what he's done. I've seen, like, even those earlier videos of him in, like, you know, in the classroom. Like, that's all of it. And I was like, I don't think he's a sociologist. And he says, well, I think he is. And I said, I don't know that that's really up for discussion. Like, I don't know that that's a debatable term for him.
Nor is it up for individual perspective.
Like, that's not for you to decide. I said, that's not your thing. I said, that's not your business to decide that for him. I said, I think he's made a fairly clear career out of psychology, right? And so we go back and forth, and I said, sociology is the observation of patterns of behavior when groups of people get together and how they organize. I said, that is sociology. I said, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do observational stuff like Gad Saad does. He does prescriptive shit. You have a problem. This is how you fix it. Like, that's what he's doing. This is what's going on in your brain. You need to undo that. Unwire yourself to thinking that way. Think this way, and you will see that. Like, he's very prescriptive, and it's like, that's psychology. He's getting into your head and figuring that shit out for you and helping you unpack the shit in your head. That's what he does. And he's like, no, I've seen videos where he makes sociological observations. I've noticed that people all turn towards the door and look up at the numbers in the elevator. That doesn't make me a fucking sociologist. It just means that I made an observation about how society operates in groups. Give me a fucking break. I'm not a sociologist. That doesn't give me the right to start calling myself a sociologist. Don't be so glib about certifications that people have worked very hard to achieve. I'm like, he's one of those people, whether you like him or not. And he goes, well, that wasn't
Jordan
even the
Peterson. I'm going to be very fucking clear. Jordan Peterson is dad. He saved he was a father figure for a lot of us motherfuckers out there. So continue.
Yeah. So then he says, well, that wasn't even the main point of what I was posting about, which is true. His real point, he was disappointed in Jordan Peterson's position on Israel. And so he says he's replaceable. He's replaceable. So we don't need him. I reject him outright. And I denounce Jordan Peterson. He says, we can find other sociologists was his point. Okay. So I was like, he says, but that wasn't the main point of what I was saying. Right. He corrects me because he's talking about how, you know, he's upset with Jordan Peterson's position on Israel. And I said, yeah, but the actual point of your post was very uninteresting. It wasn't as interesting as your claims that he was a sociologist. So I just stuck to that. And I was like, I said, the only reason why I'm not talking about Israel with you is because I don't care. And that's why, but I do care about the fact that you called Jordan Peterson a sociologist. So I'm just going to point that out instead. And he goes, and he's like, well, that wasn't the point. I said, but you said it. If it wasn't important, you wouldn't have said it. But you said it in your less than 100 words, you said it. Less than 50 words, you said it. I said, so it was important enough to fit it into 50 words. You didn't just say it was replaceable. You said you can find other sociologists. I said, there's far more sociologists out there than what Jordan Peterson is claiming to be. It's like, and it was like, he was literally focused on the fact that, you know, but what about Israel? And I'm like, I don't care about Israel. Not enough to get into it with you about other people's opinions about it. Like, we're not even talking about my opinion about Israel. We're talking about Jordan Peterson's opinion about Israel.
We're not even talking about the poster's opinion about Israel.
Right. We're just talking about
Jordan. The poster's judgment.
We're gossiping. We're literally gossiping now. I'm like, I don't want to gossip about Jordan Peterson's ideas. Like, I just don't. Like, this is so beneath me.
I love how, like, these leftovers, they do the whole
What is this dog? You cannot go through the carpet, baby boy. No, you cannot go through the carpet. Oh, hello.
He's like, you mean I cannot go through the carpet? He's literally like in shock looking at me.
You cannot go through the carpet, baby boy. I love you.
But how, like, it's something, okay, I'm just being petty. The whole, I don't know what gender is because I'm not a biologist.
Oh, right. I'm not, you know, I got the same shit from like a vegan saying, there's no difference between a cow's life and a human life. And I was like, there's no, he's like, why don't you tell me what the distinction is? I said,
oh,
you don't know the difference between a cow and a human being? I said, is that true? I said, are you really saying that? Or are you being obtuse? I said, to make a point. I said, the fact that you have to sit there and say that life is a spectrum now, right? And we can't discern between human and cow is the same bullshit as saying, I don't know the difference. There is no difference really between a biological woman and a dude in woman face. It's like, yeah, there is. There is a difference. Statistically, behaviorally, psychologically, all of that, physically, like, what are you even talking about that there's no distinction between, because the vegan was trying to make a point that if you kill a cow, it's like killing a human being, it's still murder. And I was like, okay. I said, but the difference being that a cow doesn't even understand when it's dying. Like, it doesn't understand life and death. Like, it doesn't have the ability to know that. It doesn't understand the difference between right and wrong.
Also, me slaughtering a cow for my meat does not put me in prison for manslaughter.
And a cow doesn't go to prison for stampeding over a human being. It gets put down, but it doesn't go to court. It doesn't get due process. I'm like, because we know.
for all the listeners, by the way, I promise you, we're going to get into like more productive topics after we've been ranting. Because we, Kelly Diamond and I, we've been at it for so much. So we have so much cropped up opinions. And because we absolutely rile each other up. So I promise we'll bring you in future episodes more like substance. For now, let's just have this as an exercise for you, if you can hold different opinions from two very opinionated persons, for one. For second, if you are articulated enough, not you, but the listener, to come up with any counter arguments, because let that be a practice too, instead of like, oh my God, these, you know, fucking the sloth and the half Japanese and whatever, you know, whatever like mental masturbation you want to go to. I have a whole list of things that I needed to cycle to back.
Oh, go. Okay.
From your conversation. So it might not even go smooth anymore. Again, because we go fast. We go fast. And I love it. when the whole, you know, words are violence, because that's one of my biggest crux as someone who has, not only I am pro-violence, but someone who has experienced on the receiving end excessive amount of violence. Like the insinuation that words are the same as violence is such a insult.
Yeah.
It shows me that you've never experienced violence, for one. So you're by default weak. Now you're just mentally masturbating. And one thing that I wanted to bridge this to is, this is also why I extremely hate the fucking Gaber or whatever his name is. The trauma, everything's trauma.
Okay.
So because I'm being extreme right now too with my I hate him, but
okay,
his
yeah,
everything I is trauma. Okay. I think that he was the original bridge to current psychology being like, all the things you didn't experience are trauma now too. And I'm blaming him for that.
Oh shit. I didn't realize that was him. I only saw the one clip, and what he was saying made sense in the context of that clip.
Sure. Again, he has good things. Don't get me wrong, but I feel that he is the bridge that now made the everything is trauma. So if your mom didn't support you for cheerleading, that's trauma, right? Like you've been traumatized by not being loved enough. And I'm like, oh.
Well, that's the problem, right? So again, it goes back to the umbrella terms. Everything is trauma, right? As opposed to learning that life is a series of hardships that you're navigating, right? That you are navigating. In fact, you know, the reality is that life is the cracks. It's not about falling through the cracks. You're navigating the cracks. That is where you live. That is, from time to time, you will rise above those cracks and you will get a view. But most of the time, you're just going through the cracks and you're constantly trading off. And you're constantly trying to figure out what's the better play, not necessarily whether or not this is the best thing in the world all the time. And the idea that you're forgiving, that's one of the things that I can't stand. There was a post that circulated and I pissed off a friend of mine because I lost my shit on it. And I didn't realize it was hers until much later. Like, it was a group that was suggested for me and this meme popped up and I didn't realize it, but just in small print was her name. She had started the group and I didn't know that. So I just went off because it was talking about how, you know, it's time to forgive your parents for not knowing what they didn't know. And I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, how is that a transgression that needs forgiveness? Because when I think of forgiveness, I think about somebody having done me wrong, right? Like,
there's an activity insinuated that needs to be forgiven.
Right. Something bad happened and you did it to me and I need to forgive that, right? It can't be something like, you know, I wanted this and I never got it and they didn't even know, right? So like, my mom didn't teach me how to change a tire, but I forgive her. Like,
right. No, exactly.
Why are we... My mom raised me with the traditions that she knew, but I forgive you for imposing that on me. And I'm just like, So your parents are doing the best they can. Every single set of parents is basically winging it because there really is no guidebook on how to deal with your individual ass. They're doing the best they can, and you're sitting there saying, I forgive you for not being perfect. What?
Well, and no. So it's not even for not being perfect. I'm forgiving you for not accommodating everything I wanted and desired.
Everything I ever wanted.
There's a distinction, and I really want to emphasize on that. Again, not for you, obviously, but for the sake of the conversation. Because imperfection happens as default between humans, which I absolutely can forgive. I can absolutely forgive imperfection because it's based off the launching that my existence will hurt you, perhaps not by my intention, but definitely, you know, because I'm direct or whatever. Like I can absolutely forgive imperfection. I cannot, what the situation that you are sketching, forgive you that you didn't accommodate whatever I should have gotten, feel like wanted, needed, desired.
Yeah. And you don't get to claim the trauma card. You don't get to play the trauma card because you didn't get everything you wanted. Like people are talking about, like there was a woman who did a little video, a TikTok video, talking about how adults are buying up little collectible toys because their parents didn't let them buy them when they were too poor to get them when they were growing up as children. And they're addressing their trauma. I'm like, no, you're fucking not. No, you're fucking not. That's not trauma. That's you feeling incredibly entitled. And now this is what you want to do with your money to make up for it. Fine. But that's not, no. Your parents moving because it was a better economic decision or because, you know, or telling you you couldn't have dessert or some bullshit. No. I mean, there was one of them was saying, I forgive you for raising me through your struggle. And I'm like, bitch, you were the struggle. You were the one waking their ass up at 2 o'clock in the morning, shitting up your back. You're the struggle that they fucking raised you through. You were the struggle. You were the financial hardship. You were the one that was needy and crying. You were the struggle that they were willing to undertake, chose to undertake and bring you into this world and do something for, however fucked up it was and however clumsy they were at it, they did it. You're here. And the only thing you could think to do with that is bitch about the fact that you didn't have the perfect life. And it's like, that's the best you can do? Get fucking help. Get fucking help.
Yeah.
God damn.
Please get help. And by help, I probably mean other stuff. But yes. Let's call it help for the sake of like remaining online and not being kicked off every platform. Please get help. Yes. But this... And now we're getting onto a bigger umbrella as we keep jumping forever. I feel that a huge part of the conversation right now is that when we speak of raising kids, and this is coming from a non-parent, obviously, from someone who's been raised probably on the extreme other side of the spectrum, that raising your child well at this point insinuates that raising your child in a manner that it doesn't experience any hardship, any confrontations, any throw me some words, using that in the broadest term, and accommodating all the desires, luxury, petty stuff, etc. too, like that, that's now being a good parent, right? That's raising your child well.
The argument is that just because you had to struggle doesn't mean that your kids have to struggle and you shouldn't want that for them. And my argument is this: life is struggle. It's not about whether I want that for them. It's about whether or not it's inevitable. And it is inevitable. Hardship is inevitable. Something's going to happen. Something's not going to go your way a lot. Most of the time. That's why you remember your wins rather than your losses, because the wins are so monumental and they're so hard fought, right? That when you get them, you're just like, fuck yes, I got the thing, whatever it is. I triumphed because I failed this many times to get to the one thing that I wanted. So it's not my job to make sure that you don't have struggle. That is so not it. And I tell my kids that. I'll tell them that. I say, look, it's not my job to make sure that your life is painless. That is not how it's going to go. You're going to experience a lot of bad shit to some degree or another, and you're going to perceive it that way. My job is to make sure that you are mentally equipped to cope with that and be able to navigate that and solve for that. Right.
Right. And this is why our friends sent kids to stay with me for a few months, because I'll teach them how to be harder. The same. You as a caretaker, as a parent, it's your responsibility to equip your child for the real life and its real life consequences, but now training them in a safe manner to that.
Right. They have an opportunity.
In the real world, if you steal something or if you're untrue, you're going to end up in prison or dead.
Right.
Right. And I know I'm pushing an extreme example. Meanwhile, if you lie to mommy or caretaker, you're going to get punished, which is still better. But you're being instilled what consequences and actions entail.
Right.
And I want to have you seen Captain Fantastic?
No.
Oh, my God. You must watch it tonight. I will not take no for an answer. I will send it to you anyway. Okay. Captain Fantastic, without spoiler, is the movie's about a father who raises his kids on a homestead in the middle of nowhere in outside of any traditional system. So outside any traditional school system, the kids know, you know, they know how to speak languages. They know anything about history. He makes them climb, you know, the mountains, sit in cold water, slaughter animals, etc. It's like very, again, extreme, right? Extreme compared to what we have right now. And I was talking to Mr. Viking, holla at you, because he raised his kids in a similar fashion, right? He's very pro, like, let's create. Anyway, we were talking about raising children. And I'm always interested about, he needs to come on with us one time, because he'll be way better to explain his stance on this. But a similar fashion, right? Like, I am here to, not to traumatize you, I'm here to equip you for life's hardships.
Right, and immunize you against that, right.
Right. Ooh, I like immunize.
In that context. In that context, it's right. You know, I'm inoculating you against future traumas, like real trauma, you know, like bad shit, right? And I'm teaching you how to get away from that. And I'm making it so that, you know, I'm doing this for you now to build up your immunity to it later. And that's essentially what the behavior is doing. Is, you know, it no different than building up calluses when you're learning self-defense, or, you know, or when you're learning guitar. You're building up an immunity to the pain of what it is in order for you to do the work that needs to get done. And so that's what he's doing, essentially, is that work. Right. Is saying, I'm going to do this in a controlled environment where I can control the consequences and throttle that, and I can be there in the event that you need me. But ultimately, I'm going to get you to a point of self-sufficiency where you don't need me. I have to, but that's what most animals do. Most animals raise their kids to not need them. That's the whole point. I know that I can at some point die to a predator. So I need to teach you everything I can, as fast as I can, as quick as I can, because I might not be here tomorrow. So I need to do what, you know, they don't always accomplish that. Sometimes they do get killed before the kids have matriculated, but, you know, at the same time, that's what they're trying to do, is get them ready to leave. The whole time is to get the fuck out, right? So it's like, that's what he's doing.
So I want your opinion as an American, and I know we've touched on this in a previous episode as well, and we're probably going to touch on this several million more times. Sure. But the notion, because we do have weak generations right now in the modern West, complete modern West, right? Well, various degrees, depending state, socioeconomic, et cetera, financial class, blah, blah, blah. Yes. But as a collective, we're raising weaker children. And my one point that triggered this thought was where you said something like, you don't want your kids to go through the hardships that you went through, but you still, and so the weaker generation is a direct result of the parents right now, right? That had a good intention. Like, first and foremost, you had good intention. You didn't want to bring harm upon your kids, right? Like, I want to honor that good intention, because that comes from love.
Sure.
But you took it to an extreme where you're now handicapped them.
Right.
You make you literally created socially retards because they don't know how to deal with the basics. I'm not even talking about extremes. We have created a generation that isn't equipped to deal with basics, feelings, communication, speech, words on a fucking laptop. Yeah. People are actually having physical sensations from reading.
Right.
Like, we failed.
Yeah. No, we did. I think, I think they're conflating. I think what's happening is they're conflating an event with how they took it. And they think they're the same thing, right? So for example, when I was growing up, we moved every 2 years. And my older sister took that incredibly harshly. She did not like it. She was just mortified because she liked the popularity and the friends and the people she was meeting. And I'm going to go to prom with so-and-so. And we're doing all the things. And then my dad would pick up and leave for whatever reason. He was making decisions for the household. That's what we needed to do. And I was like, guess we're packing our shit. Okay, then let's pack our shit. Start putting stuff in boxes.
I have a system now.
Yeah, I'm fucking great at it. I've got a lot of stuff that's already in like organized containers that just need lids. And I'm good. I was like, great. Guess we're packing. That's fine. I didn't care as much. And she did. But we both had separate experiences on that, right? It was the same event. The same event of moving, right? From place to place. But we internalized it entirely differently. And what she's doing is ascribing how she internalized it to the event itself. The event itself was nothing. It was relocation. Fucking Tuaregs and Bedouin don't know any better. All they do is migrate. They've got these elaborate tents and carpets that they lay out. And this is all they do every day of their lives. They're just migrating all the fucking time. I mean, they don't know what it is to lay down roots. They're gypsies by nature, right? And it's like, that's not abnormal for them. It's abnormal for her because she had the expectation of staying somewhere and planting down roots. And she never got that. So what she's doing is she's taking how she interpreted that and how hurt she was, and she's ascribing that to relocation and moving and saying, moving is therefore bad, and I'm going to spare my children this. And it's like, the reality is, right, and I've said this to people before, the people who say, neglect is abuse, to adults, and silent treatment is abuse, same thing. You're taking your hurt feelings and you're calling it abuse because you've now associated your hurt feelings with the behavior. The reality is that objectively speaking, ignoring you is something I could do and you'd never give it a second thought. You only care because it's happening with this particular person that you value so much that you feel entitled and you feel very heightened about it and you feel entitled to closure. Same thing with my sister. She doesn't like moving. She's taken her hurt feelings about it and she's assigned it to the act of moving. And that's not real. That is completely imaginary and fabricated and it only exists in her head. I said, this is only true in your head. This is not actually true of moving and relocation. Right. Moving into location dispassionately is nothing. It's very benign. Right.
And the internet has now created a platform where we can find people who have similar ideas and then we can feed those ideas, right? Racism is a great example, right? We're attributing skin color to any feelings we have about certain events and we're making them one. Same for money. People with money are bad. No, they're not. Like you first of all, I can tell you've never met wealthy people. One. Right. Again, not you. I know not you. Not you, you. But the people who make such claims. And two, you're attributing their bad behavior as the core foundation, the reason being money. Right. Now, I can guarantee you that that money's not the attribute to people being shitty.
Oh, absolutely not.
It can amplify it, for sure. But
yeah, so can alcohol amplify. Right, but alcohol does the same thing, right? I mean, it can bring out the very worst in people as well. And it can amplify that and make them worse. Okay, but that means they were always an asshole. The thing is that assholes come in all socioeconomic, strata. rent seekers or, you know, welfare queens come in all socioeconomic strata, right? I mean, Nancy Pelosi is as much of a welfare queen as the person in Section 8 housing. She's sitting there, you know, getting handouts from the government, despite the fact that she's a millionaire. There's plenty of millionaires that are, in fact, welfare queens. Okay. You know, I mean, and nobody thinks, but when you think about it, what they're actually talking about is like the corporate welfare. They don't think about that. And they say, oh, well, they're just rich because of corporate welfare. I'm like, okay, but welfare is welfare. You're still taking from the largesse. You're still taking from the taxpayer. You're still doing that. It's just that you feel that your needs mitigate that and make it better and make it okay. But the reality is that you need something doesn't make you better or more deserving. Or, I mean, the thing is if I had to choose between taking my tax dollars and giving it to a homeless person on the corner or investing it in a stock, I would probably invest it in a stock because I know the ROI on that is definitely going to be higher. My odds of getting a return on the investment is higher.
And I have like a whole thing about money and debt that I want to discuss with you, but maybe we should do that next week.
Okay.
So we can launch off of that. I have it here. I have it written down.
Okay. Ready to go. Okay.
Oh my God. Invest versus homeless. Are we going to wrap it up for today?
We can.
So good. So good. Us for president.
Us for president.
Oh my God, so good. Forever, again, forever. We might need to end up doing this every day. I don't know. Again, there's just
too much. They keep feeding us. We're living off of, we're just they living know. Off of leftovers. The refrigerator is full of them.
Oh so. My God, so good, so good. Okay, yeah, okay, I'm keeping this list specifically.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm texting it to you just to be sure so we know.
Okay.
And let's continue next week. Thank you.
Okay.
Diamond. With Diamond and Venus. See y'all next week. Wait. Were you almost hanging up, leaving us, leaving me and everyone in this podcast without liking, subscribing, and putting on that bell notification? Nah, that's not cool. Come on, do it. And if you're feeling extra feisty today, share, tag me, and tell me what you like the most about the episode. Let's hear it in the comments. Let's hear it on all the platforms. I'll see you in the next episode.